I am a recording artist, a radio personality, an actress, a TEDx speaker, and most recently, a certified master life coach. And I am just like you, on this wild ride, a page-turning book filled with victorious chapters and chapters of sheer defeat. Well, I'm here in the arena now, here to help you create a beautiful life. Mi gente, this is your favorite chica, Judy Torres. Thank you so much for joining me on my podcast, Beautiful Life with Judy Torres. If this is your first time checking it out, thank you so much. I welcome you with an open heart and open arms. I have done this podcast because I noticed that throughout my history and my career, I receive a lot of fan mail from fans asking me more for advice than anything else. And so I just thought, hey, you know what? This, along combined with my life experience as a performer and the fact that I've been a certified master life coach for almost 4 years, I figured this podcast would be a great thing where people can come together and we can talk about real issues in life, about victories and defeats and the struggles in between, and that we can talk to people, fans, as well as celebrities, and just show that everyone deserves the beautiful life that they desire. And so thank you so much for tuning in.
Juju Beads.
Juju Beads by JT.
What is that? That's like blowing up.
Juju Beads by JT. I actually was thinking about this one day. I was like, you know what? Everyone has merchandise. Everyone's selling t-shirts and hats. And I love a t-shirt. I love myself a hat, but I always try to be a little different. And so I thought, wouldn't it be cool? You know, I love crystals. I love gemstones and things like that. That's the thing that I do. So I thought, you know, I love, like, for example, I love rose quartz, and rose quartz signifies self-love. You know, you give it to someone that you care about. You give it to someone who you wish would love themselves more. So I thought, wow, what if I had bracelets with semi-precious stones that have symbolism to them? And then they'll have a bar on the top, and the bar on the top will have like, what if it had like no reason to cry or come into my arms, or if it had a popular saying that I use on KTU, like hola mi gente or favorite chica, or things that I use in life coaching, like choose you. I thought that might be cool to sell that. And so you know what? I can show it to you. You want to see it?
Yeah. So you're not only giving them beads, but you're giving them good juju with the juju.
Yeah, good juju. Yeah. Hold on 1 second. Hold on.
And if anybody's interested in getting some juju beads, of course, you can follow Judy's social media at Judy Torres Music. And all the information is there. There's quite a few different styles that you could choose from, male and female. And they're great products, and people are loving them all over social media. So Judy's going to show us some of them right now. Let's take a look at what she's got there.
Okay. So whenever you order your juju beads by JT, which is cool, everyone gets the bracelet in a really cute bag. In the front says juju beads. You get a personal autograph from me. It says be blessed, my autograph. And then in the back of the card, it will have the name of the precious stone. So in this instance, it's blue agate, and blue agate signifies calmness, facilitates human relationships and release of trauma. And so then of course you get the bracelet. The bracelet is expandable. This is the blue agate. See how beautiful it is.
Wow. Very nice.
And this is the latest one. This one says, hola mi gente, which is what I say pretty much all the time. I say it on stage. I say it before KTU. I say it on my videos. And hola mi gente means hello, my people. And hola mi gente isn't just necessarily for Latinos. I just mean it. I'm, hello, my people. That's what I mean when I say it. And then we also have for men, same thing. The men's I like a lot because the men's are leather.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, the men's are really cool. So the men's, we have them in black and blue and black and red. And now, before, you only had one choice of a saying, but now you can have both. So the black and red or the black and blue one says always standing by your side or faithfully. And that's it. And they're really cool. I like them a lot. They open really easily. They close really easily. People are loving them and they're doing very well. So I'm
very
excited.
And where else can they get them aside from Judy Torres music?
They can get them at The Judy Torres, T-H-E Judy Torres, J-U-D-Y-T-O-R-R-E-S .myshopify.com. So thejudytorres.myshopify.com. And I do my best to also sell them at shows as well. So that's it. And t-shirts are coming soon because I might as well do that. But I'm really excited. Actually, the next step is to, I'm speaking with a manufacturer right now who makes candles. And the same idea, when you burn the candle, there'll be a semi-precious stone inside. But right now, just one candle. It's called Come Into My Arms. It smells amazing. So that's coming soon. It's not ready yet, but it's coming soon. So I'm excited.
I feel like I'm watching QVC. Like I walked in the living room and my mother's got Judy on doing a sales pitch.
It's cool. No, it's been doing really good. So right now you can get the bracelets say No Reason to Cry, Come Into My Arms, I Love You, You Love Me, Forever Yours Faithfully, Always Standing By Your Side, My Favorite Chica, Okay, I Love You, Bye-Bye.
Chunky Hola, but Funky.
We have Chunky but Funky. We have regular and extra large because I just made them extra large originally. And then some people were like, hey, I'm Chunky but Funky, but I'm not that large. So we did a smaller size. And Hola Mi Gente, the next one that we're working on right now, like I'm going to get it any day now, is Freestyle Freak. So
awesome.
That's it. So it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, so good. Great. Now, Speaking of Chunky but Funky, we have a subject that I think is very near and dear to you today. It's somebody that you have brought to my attention to get onto the podcast. I think it's going to be a great interview. It's about a gentleman that basically he calls it his fat to fit journey through weight loss and working out and, you know, some struggles that he dealt with. And we're going to see if he came out on the other side of it. His name is Greg Afanador.
You know, I've always been an overweight person. I've had my ups and my downs, and I've been thin for like a minute. And watching my own struggle with weight and watching someone else actually be victorious was very inspiring to me. And so when I first would perform on stage, people would say, go gorda, which meant go fatso. Mm. At the time, I didn't really like myself that much. So it was really, really hard to hear that I would get off stage. And I never showed it on stage, but I would get off stage and like half an hour later, I'd be crying my eyes out. And then, my own personal journey, I learned to just be more accepting and just love myself more. It's not always easy, but I am happy with myself, you know? But as I was on Instagram, you know, you get suggestions and people you should follow, or you're looking through your newsfeed and you find new people. And so I found Greg and I was very inspired, especially when you look physically at what he was and what he is now and how he's been able to maintain that. And so I thought it would be a really, really good idea to talk to him so that the viewers and the listeners can see that not just that you want to be healthier, but how to do it and what the struggles are in between all that. How do you overcome all that? So I think Greg is a really great person to talk to.
Awesome. Well, he's standing by right now. I'm looking forward to listening and we'll come back together afterwards to kind of reassess the conversation.
So mi gente, I'm so excited to introduce Greg Afanador. He hails from Cleveland, Ohio, and I have been following him on Instagram for quite some time. That's the reason he's here, because I had to talk to him. He has an incredible story about his journey from being, I'm not going to say overweight, I'm going to say being in an unhealthy state, according to him, and his journey to becoming more healthy and fit for himself. So welcome, Greg. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm great. How are you?
I'm very, very good. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about your story, how it started, so people can really get acquainted with you.
Yeah. So I pretty much grew up being an overweight kid. I looked through like pictures from when I was like 2-3 years old, and I was always like, you know, the fat kid. It was pretty much defined pretty much my whole life. I remember hearing it from even relatives and things like that from a very young age that, you know, you can't have this because you're fat, you know, and, you know, things like that. So it was always like, it always had an effect on me. Mm-hmm. So when I was like, I was getting close to 40 years old, and I was like 38. And so after like multiple failed attempts of trying to lose weight and whatnot, And I've always been a very active person. I was never like a sedentary person. I would always work out and hike and do things, mm-hmm. but I just could never get to the point where I was at a healthy weight. So, you know, I'd always had stints of like losing 50 pounds, losing 100 pounds and gaining it back. And when I was about, when I was 38, I was like 400 pounds at that point. And so I was like, we can't do this anymore. This whole like trying to do it myself over and over again is obviously not working. So that's when I decided, like through my employer, like they actually offer weight loss surgery. So I decided to go ahead mm-hmm. and give that a try.
So did you do gastric sleeve, gastric bypass?
I did bypass.
Okay. Okay. Yes. So explain what that felt like.
I try to explain it to people, and for me, it was not bad or difficult. I had the surgery on a Tuesday and I went home Wednesday. I asked to go home.
Did they want to keep you there?
They usually said they keep people for 2 to 3 days. Mm-hmm, but my roommate that I had in there, it wasn't working with my stomach because I was very nauseous, and it was kind of like, I don't think I could hang with this person for multiple days. So I did ask my doctor to go home, and he gave me like a big glass of water, and he's like, you have to drink all of this before I can mm-hmm. let you go. Mm-hmm. Then we have to scan you to make sure you don't have leaking and
right.
whatever that right. is. And so I was able to do it. And then a couple hours later, I was sent home.
For those people who don't know much about weight loss surgery, a lot of people are under the impression that it's an easy way to it's an easy fix. Please educate the audience about how it is not an easy fix.
And I was very lucky that I had a surgeon that told me straight from the beginning that it wasn't going to be easy. And so we had to go through multiple things. I had to see a psychiatrist, and I had to follow up with the psychiatrist on multiple occasions, even after the surgery, meeting with him. But he told me from the beginning that you pretty much have a year to 18 months where the surgery is doing the majority of the work. Mm-hmm. So that is your time to figure out how to eat, how to work mm-hmm. out, and how to deal with this new life that you have. Because if you don't figure it out within that 12 to 18 months, you're going to go right back to the way it was before. Because even to this day right now, I could eat 3 slices of pizza, you know, like in mm-hmm. a city. Like, you know, in the beginning, of course, the restriction is like hard. You have a couple bites of pizza and you're done. He was honest with me and told me the truth. It was literally a year to 18 months before I was able to start eating almost normally again.
Right. So in the beginning, you physically cannot overeat. You can't even eat a normal meal, so to speak. Right. So it's sort of easy. But I have so many questions for you. Psychologically, how did that affect you? In a few ways. And I say this because I had the sleeve surgery mm-hmm. and, you know, in the beginning, I don't know if this happened to you. In the beginning, it was like this relief, like, oh, thank God, you know, I have something that's going to help me. Thank God, you know, things are going to turn around now. I can be healthier now. I can reframe my life. I can do all these things. And then all of a sudden, I remember I just felt sad. I was just like, I remember sitting on the staircase, like crying, saying, I don't know why I'm sad. Mm-hmm. And then I realized for me that it felt like I couldn't use food to make me feel better.
Right.
And I didn't know what to do with those feelings, mm-hmm. you know? So for you, what was that like psychologically, whether it was good or bad or whatever the case may be?
It would, for me, it made me like, it made me angry. Like I was angry when I had the surgery. I was like, I was just tired of feeling it inadequate and not normal, and just felt like I didn't fit in with anybody, you know. Like growing up in a Hispanic family, like I had cousins that were dark skinned, thin, and you know, here I am like big blue eyes, white and fat, you know, like I didn't fit in with my family. I didn't fit in with, you know, my friends or anything like that. So it made me feel like an outsider. So I was angry about that. And for me, I just, instead of food, I decided to just put it into the gym instead. So, and I still have that fire to this day. Like, I obsess about going to the gym. So I think another thing the doctor told me was about like transfer addiction type of thing. So,
okay, let's talk about that. Explain to people what that means. Cause that is very true.
So, one of the things that, the psychiatrist talked to me about like beforehand was transfer addictions. And I guess lots of people get transfer addictions after, you know, having weight loss surgery, because the one thing that you use to make you feel better if you're sad or feel better if you're angry or feel better, you know, and, you know, for anything is taken away from you pretty much. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people will go to alcohol, they'll go to drugs, they'll go to risky sexual behavior. There's so many things that, you know, people will do to make themselves feel better because they don't have that food as their comfort anymore.
Right.
So for me, it was just working out and, you know, trying to, instead of obsessing about food, I would more obsess about just how I looked physically, like mm-hmm. just making, trying to get like my body to be a certain way and things like that. So mm-hmm. I think it's like a healthy addiction, but you know.
Well, there is something to be said about working out too much. You can work out too much. You can overwork your body. You can fatigue it. You know, you can have all sorts of strains and sprains if you're not careful. Do you believe that to some extent you may or may not have suffered from some form of body dysmorphia?
Oh, right? So
like body dysmorphia, for people who are not aware of it, body dysmorphia is when you look at yourself in the mirror and you see a perceived flaw. I say perceived because not everyone thinks that the flaw that you see is a flaw at all. They're like, yes. What are you talking about? So a lot of people, you know, for example, with anorexia will look in the mirror and say, oh my God, I'm so fat. And they genuinely see themselves as fat. And you're looking at them saying, no, you're not. Mm-hmm. But it's not just the perception of the flaw. It's how big it seems to you. Yes. And also that it begins to interfere in your daily life because you obsess over those thoughts and those thoughts become very controlling. And so that your quality of life kind of diminishes, right?
Yes.
So you said yes, that you felt that way. Explain.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I still have my moments to this day. But it has gotten better. It's been, you know, it was 2017 when I had the surgery. And I took my time losing the weight. Like the doctor, he was very good. And he said that there's a lot of people who like want to lose it quickly and they try their best to lose it as quickly as possible. And he told me to try to restrict it as much as possible. Try to, you know, eat an extra meal during the day. He's like, weigh yourself daily. That way, you know, you're not losing 3-4 pounds a day. You want to do that, you know, 2-3 pounds a week thing. Just make it as healthy.
3-4 pounds a day. That's crazy.
Yeah. I remember the first month I lost like probably 35 pounds, 40 pounds. And it was like crazy, but.
Right. But you said you were like close to 400.
I was 400. Yeah. I was 400 pounds.
So that makes sense. I think the more you weigh, the faster you lose in the beginning, right? The more you lose in the beginning. Okay.
Absolutely. But yeah, so when I first lost the weight, you know, I didn't really have too much of like the skin issues. Definitely had a little bit, and I did have plastic surgery to have a lot of it corrected. But in the beginning, you know, you lose all this weight and everything. You look at yourself in the mirror, and it's a weird feeling because and I feel bad saying this to anybody who has anorexia or body dysmorphia in any type of way, but you never believe it's true until you mm-hmm. actually feel it yourself. Mm-hmm. Like I was kind of like, there's no way people look at themselves in the mirror and think that they're fat. They're like skinny, you know, they look great. But mm-hmm. when you see yourself in the mirror, you don't see yourself as how you are. You do see yourself as your old
right.
Perfect.
Yeah. Like I wanted to say that you still see yourself as the old you, no matter what you do. It takes a long time to accept that. Yeah.
Years. And mm-hmm. for me, the only thing that really helped with it was like, kind of like seeing side by side pictures of yourself. You're like, oh,
right.
Okay. I do look like that.
Right.
But if you don't look at that old picture next to you, you don't see it, you know? So mm-hmm. it's a really weird experience. And it did affect me. Like I would wake up in the morning to go to work or to even leave the house after work. And I would change my clothes 3-4 times just because this makes me look fat. This makes me look fat. Like, and I would change constantly and buy clothes, different clothes, and wear black all the time. And, you know, like just because you're just obsessed about it. It was definitely a crazy experience. Much better now, but it took a while.
Yeah. I remember when I had the surgery, I was about 275. And I had gone from like a size 20, 22 down to a 12, 14, but I didn't know. I was still wearing like size 18, you know? And I remember I went to the store, I went to New York and Company and I asked the woman, well, how come, you know, where do you have plus size? And she says, well, they go up to size 18 here. So I got an 18. She's like, you're not an 18. I'm like, no, I am. And she's like, yeah, no, you're not. So she goes, hey, just please try on a 16. I try on the 16. I'm like, okay. She's like, that doesn't fit you either. And I'm like, yes, it does. She's like, try on a 14. And then I left that day wearing size 12 and like, oh my God, you know, and I just couldn't believe it because you still see your old self to some extent.
Oh yeah.
You know, I want to ask you, I'd really like to get to, you know, I watch a lot of interviews about weight loss and things like that. And I feel like a lot of the subject matter is popular, you know, it's common. Like everybody wants to know, what did you do? How did it feel? You know, what were the after effects? You know, how are you doing now? How do you keep it off and all that stuff? But I feel like what's lacking is the conversation about what got us there in the first place. Mm-hmm. Like, do you believe that it was some type of genetic disposition? Do you believe it was some type of trauma that was hidden, quote unquote, hidden? Do you think, you know, like, what do you think part of that was?
I think part of it was probably a genetic disposition. I think it might've been having parents that weren't exactly like, I had young parents. They were 19 and 20 when they had me. So I think that they, in their mind, you know, it was feed them and he'll be happy. And you know what I mean? Like kind of a thing, like they thought that was like doing the best thing for your child. You're giving them food and it's making them happy and it's okay. But so I think a lot of it was that. And then I think like also I was gay. So I was struggling with that. So as you're growing up, you start like using food to kind of like mask that and make yourself feel better with that.
Can I ask, because we
of course
we definitely may have we definitely have people from the LGBTQ community watching this. So when did you first realize that you were gay or know that you were gay, and what was the fear?
So when you're young, you don't kind of understand what it is. But if I could go back in time and understand when I was different, when I knew I was different and not like the other boys and not like the girls, I was probably 5.
Wow. Okay.
So I was young, but has nothing to do with like sex. Like I didn't even know.
Oh no, I know, but it's that feeling that you know that you know that something's different about you.
Yes.
And you're not quite sure like how to put it. So do you think that in any way, shape, or form that you use food to kind of hide it or distract yourself from those thoughts?
Yes.
Like, what do you think happened
there? Yeah, it's like, so my family was always like pretty like accepting. Like they were like, my grandfather has a sister that was a lesbian. And so it was kind of like, he loved his sister. They were like best friends for each other. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like, so we always grew up like where you didn't have to be like ashamed or hide it. So with the family aspect, it's okay. But in school in life, it's not. So I think that it was kind of like, it made you feel better when you like have to go through your day in school. It was kind of like a sense of relief, I guess, to eat, overeat. It made you feel better.
Mm-hmm. But, and so now how do you feel about all that stuff?
how do I feel about all of it
now? I mean, obviously you're at peace with it because you're able to say I'm gay, you know, mm-hmm. but like, let's say there's someone watching now who's younger, who's struggling with that. You know, what kind of advice could you give them to help them get through it? Because obviously there's something inside of you, especially you said socially, like going to school, like if the kids know, are they going to be my friend? Are they going to make fun of me? Are they going to do anything wrong to me? Mm-hmm. You know, what advice can you give someone who may be going through that now?
The best thing I can say is to, you know, I think in school, it's almost impossible to police other people and other kids. And, you know, their parents every parent raises their kids in different ways. I think the best thing for somebody, and, you know, my hope is that they have a supportive family at home. Like, you know, they can't have no support at school and no support home. Like that's mm-hmm. like a horrible mix for a kid. But my hope is that they can find some type of group. I think most cities have like LGBTQ centers where, you know, there's people who could mentor them and help guide them and, you know, answer questions for them that their parents might not be able to answer or kids might not be able to answer or their teachers. I think that, you know, there's definitely like mentorship programs that I think a lot of kids need. And I did wish I would have had something like that growing up.
That was going to be my next question. Did you have that growing up? And if you didn't, so how did you handle that?
I didn't. I guess a lot of it was my fault. Just like being in denial. Like I couldn't even admit it to myself in the mirror until I was probably 25 years old. Mm. So it took a long time for me to be able to even say it to myself. So, you know, I should have probably reached out. I'm sure my parents would have definitely helped. They were very supportive of like one of my cousins who came out to them. Like my parents were like the ones that people went to like with their issues. So my parents were supportive and I wasn't afraid of them to a point, but there was also like a part of me that didn't want to disappoint them. You know, like there's, you know, every parent wants grandkids and want to watch their kids get married and, you know, and you want that for yourself growing up. Like, but so I wish I would have had somebody to talk to mm-hmm. to say, mm-hmm. you know what, it's, you can have still those things. It's just going to be different, you know, than what you grew up to expect.
Yeah. Well, here you are.
Yeah.
And you did just fine despite all of that.
Yes.
You know, and that's why I wanted to do this interview. Cause I think it's amazing that you have, genuinely become victorious over this weight issue. And yes. it's probably safe to say to some extent, you still have to be conscious and be aware every day, right? Of what you're yes. eating and if you're exercising or not, what your stress levels are. Can you tell me a little bit about what you do now to help yourself continue to stay healthy the way you are?
For me, a lot of it is about like, just the way I feel. Like I was again overweight when I was in my 20s. So I know a lot of people compare like that's like their best, they felt their best when they were in their 20s and 30s. And I feel the best that I've ever felt now. And I'm like 40, almost 44. And mm-hmm. you know, like, and I just don't want to let that go. So that to me is my motivation, is I want to keep feeling good and active and healthy for as long as I possibly can. So it motivates me like every day, like when I wake up and, you know, I hear some of my friends saying that they have like pains and this and that. I'm just kind of like, I feel good. I feel great. Like
lucky you.
Yeah.
No, that's great. I think that's fantastic. I mean, there's definitely something to be said about when you're in a physically healthy state, you sleep better. Your stress is lower. You definitely have less aches and pains. You tend yes. to not be sick as much as other people, things like that. Right. And that must mm-hmm. That must feel really amazing.
Yeah. And I mean, I work in a hospital. I've never got sick. I've never got COVID. And I work in a hospital every day.
Knock on wood.
I don't know. Very lucky.
No, that's great. That's great. You were talking about on your Instagram page, you mentioned something about seeing your old self. Mm-hmm. So if you could have a conversation with your old self now, what would you say to your old self?
I would tell them to have a little bit more faith in yourself and kind of let them know that you could do a lot more than what you think you can. I think that I always grew up kind of being the type of person that was not passive, but I wanted to make everybody happy. I was like a people pleaser type of person. Mm-hmm. And I think that I would tell that person that you need to please yourself first, and then you can help other people. Like, you can't diminish yourself just for the benefit of other people. Mm-hmm. I think that was kind of like a big problem, is that I didn't want to be me because I was afraid it would hurt other people, or, you know, like, and things like that. So
you were playing small.
Yes.
To help other people feel bigger.
Yes, correct.
When in essence, you have to be yourself. You just have to be that great person that you already are.
Yes.
Right. Do you think you've changed a whole lot besides physically? Do you think that there's been an internal change as well?
The only thing that I think has changed is I'm definitely more motivated, motivated career-wise. I want to go back to school and educate myself more. I'm more driven in that respect. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I'm still the shy fat guy for the most part. Like, I still feel the same. When I go out, I'm not I don't want to be the center of attention. I like falling back. I like, you know, being reserved and quiet. And
what if that's just your nature?
Right. And that's
what if you're an introvert and that's okay? My nature. Right?
Mm-hmm, correct.
But here you want a podcast getting interviewed.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're not that shy, right?
No, not
there have been changes, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry?
I said there have been changes.
Yes.
You know, I think if everybody in the world is an extrovert and everybody in the world is really outgoing and really forward, my God, what kind of world would this be? There would be more talkers than listeners. And,
right. You
know, I think there's something great to be said about introverts. I believe introverted people are extremely observant. I think to some extent they're wiser, mm-hmm. because they spend more time listening, and you definitely learn more when you're listening than speaking.
Yes.
You know, I think that maybe that's just part of your nature, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing.
And I think there's you know, when you're overweight, you always have these things you say in your head, one day, you know, I'll take pictures with my family, and one day at a wedding, I'll actually get up and dance, and one day I'll do this, you know, but at the time you don't, but now I would. So it's kind of those things have definitely changed. I'm not embarrassed to be out in front of anybody.
Right.
I don't want to be the center of attention, but I'm not afraid if I go out there and do it, you mm-hmm. know?
Now, do you think, you know, on that note, right? Do you think that your old self could have definitely gotten up and danced anyway?
I wouldn't have. No, I was always very I didn't want to embarrass myself. I didn't want to, I always felt there was so much judgment, just walking into a room. And so mm-hmm. why would I add additional mm-hmm. judgment, you know, onto myself?
I mean, I think, you know, I get it. I get it. When I first started performing,
I'm sure you do.
You know, I was always, you know, go Golda, you know, they used to chant go fatso all the time to me. It was terrifying. And, you know, how I had the courage to do that, despite that, I still don't understand. I think my hunger to be a performer was bigger than my fear or my discomfort of my weight, you know. But I think that I've been watching this reality show that Lizzo has.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's on Amazon Prime, where she is auditioning dancers, and she calls the ladies her big girls.
Yeah.
And I thought, and I still think, I've watched the whole thing yet, but almost the whole thing. I'm actually enamored with the whole idea. Not that she's trying to celebrate that even if you're heavy,
Yes.
Just be active. Like right. be active, be healthy in that respect, that you can move, that you can get up, that you can dance, that you're not out of breath, things like that, that you have stamina. And I think that, I think we need to find like a happy medium mm-hmm. because I wish that when I was even like, I'm still a big girl, but when I was heavier, I wish that someone would have said to me, that doesn't matter as much as how you feel, you know, like in the meantime, you know, you have the wish to get thinner, but from here to here, there's time in between.
Right.
And you can't snap your fingers and be thin the next day.
Exactly.
So to some extent, you've got to accept who you are now and try to do your best and be your best and feel your best the way you are now. Celebrate the fact that you're alive. Celebrate the fact that even though you might not like the largeness of it, you still have a body that's working right. for you. You know, and then from there, you can celebrate those little things. So I think that to some extent, there needs to be like a happy medium. But I love looking at your page and I love looking at your pictures and I'm like, wow, look, he's really done it. And you continue to do it, you know? Yes. So do you still have any negative talk from everything that's happened? And if so, what do you say to yourself? I want the viewers and the listeners to understand that everybody has negative thoughts, mm-hmm. even when they've had success, there's always negative talk. And yes. most of the time that negative talk comes from parents, comes from kids who made fun of you, things like that. So mm-hmm. you have to be able to talk back to that. So what negative thoughts might you have? And what do you say to talk back to that?
You know, I'm very like overly concerned with the time that I feel that I've lost from like 20 to 40. So there's like this thing in my head where I feel like I need to like turn back the clock and kind of regain some of my youth that I lost. So in my mind is like, I tell myself, I don't want to dress my age. I don't want to listen to music my age. I want to do like younger things and like learn like what younger people are doing now than what 44-year-olds are doing, you know, like, so it, to me, it's like, I put a lot of pressure on myself to remain young and youthful and, you know, with it, I guess, but.
Well, there was a book many years ago. I want to say it's called You on a Diet, your health, you know, things like it was called You. It was written by two doctors. And I remember Oprah Winfrey had interviewed them. And in the book, they talked about how you would take this test online and it would tell you what your real age was. Like, even though you're 25, because you don't sleep enough, because you drink too much, et cetera, your real age is 47. You know, mm-hmm. So based on that idea, because I think those things do age you. I think certain things do age you. Wouldn't you say, based on that idea, and you know, the fact that you take care of yourself and you eat right, you go to the gym, etc., don't you believe that you're younger now anyway than when you were younger?
Yes, yeah, and that's why like the gym has become such a like my. I don't even know what to call it, like my church, I guess, because it makes me feel so good. And I know that's what it is that's making me feel good. So it's kind of like, I want to just be involved in as much as possible. Like I actually have plantar fasciitis. So my foot.
Oh, that's very painful. Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. terrible. So for the past 2 weeks, I haven't even worked out, mm-hmm. but I'm still like making sure that my diet is like even more perfect than it would be when I was working out. Cause when I was working out, I'd have a snack at night and be like, yeah, work out. It's fine. But like now I'm like, no, can't do it. I have to make sure everything's perfect. That way I'm not gaining any weight during this time until my foot is better. So it is like, you know, like I think about like how much sleep I get. I think about how much water I intake every day.
How much sleep do you get?
I try to get 7 hours, but usually I'm around the 6 hour range. Okay. I make up for a little bit more on the weekends. I'll have a little bit more, but I wake up really early. Like I don't have to be at work until 8, but I'm still up at like 5:30 mm-hmm. and I work 5 minutes away. But you know, like waking up in the morning, watching the news, and you know, it gives me a little bit of
that's your routine to prepare to get it.
Okay. To mentally prepare to come here.
And what about water? How much water?
I drink, actually have this. So I drink two of these every day when I'm at work. And then I, like, while I'm working out, I'll drink water and afterwards and things like that. I don't drink any like sugary drinks normally. I do kind of have an addiction to iced tea, but it's rare that I buy it. I try not to keep it around the house because I will drink like the whole thing, but I try to stick with water as much as possible.
Do you ever have bad days?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
What do you do?
Bad weeks. Yeah, definitely, for sure. You know, I don't beat myself up about it. I used to in the beginning, but now I'm like, okay, I gained 5 pounds this week. What are you going to do? Like, am I going to give up? Like, you can't. Like, so, you know, like a couple weeks ago, I went to, my cousin had a 50th birthday party, and we all went to like Waco, Texas. And I ate whatever I wanted, drank whatever I wanted, you know, like, and I don't want to have that feeling of like, I can't do this, I can't do that. Like, no, I'm there to enjoy myself, and I'm not going to make other people feel weird. Like, you know, like, no, who cares? I can have that cake, I can eat whatever. And I know that if I came home and gained some weight, then you know what, it's life, and you just move on. But
so when you have those times where you just eat whatever you want for a week or two or whatever, then you say to yourself, what? Okay, I gained weight, now I'm going to.
Yeah, then I just, and one thing I've always told myself is, and is every day is Monday. Like, so today is my Monday. Like 2 hours from now could be my Monday. Like, I don't ever say to myself, I'm going to start on Monday.
That's great. I love that. Yeah, every day is Monday. I love
every
that.
Every day is Monday. Like,
love that.
10 minutes from now is Monday. So like,
how many people say, I'll start my diet on Monday?
Yeah. And then you gorge on stuff and then you gain another 8 pounds. Like, you can't do that. Like, right,
that's
now
it's good. So, I like that. I'm going to use that. Every day is Monday. That's really good.
Yeah.
That's a really, really great thing to think. That I love that, because you're telling yourself at any given point, at any moment, like now, I can just make a decision. I'm just going to go back to what I was doing before. And that's probably what has helped you keep that weight off for so long. Not just that you had the surgery, because the surgery is just a tool.
Right.
I know many people, myself included, who've gained weight back even after weight loss surgery.
Right.
So it's just a tool. It's just, it's there to help you, give you like a, you know, when you would take a test and the teacher would say, I'm going to give you 5 minutes head start, go, right. You know, it's that kind of thing. It's like a head start. It's designed to help you, but you still have to do the work, right?
Right. Yeah. It helps you like, to, okay, it might take that initial like 75 pounds off to make you not be in such pain when you're going to the gym, you know, like, and
right. So it does so really, that you can go to the gym, right? So you have enough energy.
Gets you there, you know, so a lot of people aren't able to, don't have the mobility to do it beforehand. So that's kind of the motivation to get you to the gym. And then you have to kind of take it from there.
That's great. And when you decided to do the weight loss surgery, you said that you had to do, because people don't understand, you have to be psychologically clear to get the surgery, you know? So how often did you see a psychiatrist? Did just one time for an evaluation? How was that?
Well, since like my mother died in like 2010. So like after that, I started seeing a psychiatrist, like just to randomly talk about my feelings and, you know, things like that. So it was kind of like, I was kind of used to that, but we never talked about hate. We talked about, you know, other things. And I wish I would have talked about the weight, because then you kind of find out like, you know, you find out why do you do, it's almost kind of like a self-sabotaging thing. Like, why do you do this to yourself?
Right.
Like, why, you know, what emotions are there that are causing you to overeat and not want to work out, or, you know, whatever the case may be. So when, with the weight loss surgery part, I had to see a different psychiatrist whose focus was, you know, bariatric surgery patients. And then she really zeroed in on what the causes were, you know, what type of trauma you had in the past, and, you know, and trying to really drill in your head that it's not an easy fix, and that, you know, you have to come, if you're having issues, like a lot of time, you know, there's struggles through the whole time. There's, you know, I think for the first 18 months, I couldn't have, like, cake would make me sick, or anything that was fried would make me sick. So, you know, you come from a Puerto Rican family, I want to have an acapulco, you know, like,
you could have acapulco, you could have platanos, you could, oh my God, you could have so much things, so many things that we make are fried.
Things that, you know, that you miss, that you definitely want to, how do you deal with that? Like, so it's nice to have the psychiatrist talk to you and be like, hey, it's only temporary. You know, like, you've had empanadillas for the past 40 years. You can live for the next 18 months without mm-hmm. having them, you know?
Right, like, yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. So when you look at everything that you've accomplished, if you could say two large life lessons that you've learned from this that you can apply to life in general, what would they be?
Things don't come easy. Like, anything that's worth having is definitely a lot of work. Also just to, like, believe in yourself. Like, you know, like, at work, you know, things come up at work. Things come up, like, all the time that you feel are, like, stressful. There has been nothing harder in my life than doing this for the past 5 years. Like, it's literally, and I love it, and it's okay. I'm not saying it's bad, but the work and the time that I put into this, it doesn't compare to the stress that you have at work. Like, it almost makes other things feel, like, easy, like, whatever, you know, like, I've already been through something harder, you know? So I would just say,
it's kind of like living proof that you're going to get through whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great.
There's really nothing that could be harder than this right now. So
that's great. Do you have any advice? Is there any advice you want to give to the viewers and listeners?
I say that you get, like, I know for me, like, they always say, like, what's your biggest regret with the surgery or whatever. And it, to me, it was always, I wish I would have did it sooner. I wish I wouldn't have been afraid. I wish I would have talked to the doctors and the psychiatrists 10 years ago, like, before I did it, you know, like, before my 30s, or mm-hmm. instead of waiting until I was 40. I think that the earlier you do it, the easier it is. Like, I think losing weight is easier in your 30s and your 20s than it is in your 40s. So
that's true. That's very true.
Yeah. So, I mean, sometimes you can only do it when you can do it, but every year you wait, or every year you're afraid, it's just another year that is wasted almost.
Right.
And I don't want to, like, say everybody should get weight loss surgery, because I don't think that's.
Yeah. I was about to say that too. I was about to say, we're not encouraging that weight loss surgery is the answer for everyone, because it's not. But if you notice that, if you get to a point that you're struggling to even walk,
right,
but, you know, the simplest things in life are becoming really hard, you may need the extra help.
Right.
And it would help you to at least do some research, talk to some people, go to one of the workshops, because they have a lot of workshops and things like that, and just do some homework and just decide if it's something you want to do. It is not for everyone.
No.
That I know.
And even when I went in the beginning, it's pretty much a year of work before they even did a surgery on me. Mm-hmm. So I met with a psychiatrist multiple times, met with the nutritionist, you know, like, then you, of course, meet with the surgeons, and they weigh you and do millions of tests on you that, you know, throughout the whole process. But, you know, that's what these people are there for, nutritionists and psychiatrists. I think that probably the number one thing is the psychiatrist, even before the surgeon. Like, if they can just, you could just have a psychiatrist built into your head, like, next to you all day long, like, nobody would have a weight issue. They could be, like, because, on the fly, like, fixing your issues, you know?
Yeah. Because weight is not about the weight.
No,
you know, weight is not about the weight. The weight is a symptom that something internally is going wrong.
Right.
You know, and granted, if you have a thyroid issue, mm-hmm. if you can have a biological genetic issue that doesn't allow you to lose weight, that makes you heavy. But for the most part, for those of us who have abused food to comfort mm-hmm. ourselves and things like that, it's just a symptom that there's a bigger thing going on the inside. Yes. So even if you don't want to do the surgery, it would be helpful to get a therapist so that you can talk about why these things are bothering you, and you can get to the heart of why you use food the way you do. And sometimes for some people, that's enough for them to change also, you know?
Absolutely.
So thank you so much, Greg. Why don't you let people know how they can find you on Instagram, because you definitely need more followers. Are you on Facebook as well?
I am on Facebook, and it's just my name. Okay. It's Gregory Afanador.
Spell it for the people.
The best place is the Instagram. So it's Greg's Fat to Fit Journey. So in between every word is a underscore. So yes.
Excellent. Well, I think you look amazing. I think you're amazing on the inside and the outside. I thank you so much. You know, this is one of those things that I feel this is one of those situations where social media is a great thing.
Yes.
I never would have been able to do this if I had not found you on social media.
You know, I'm still kind of apprehensive about it too. Like I'm not, like I almost feel like sometimes you have that like imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like, there's some people on there who blow me away physically and what they've been able to do with their bodies and whatnot. But, you know, for me, it's not the point of like being the best. It's just, I just want other people to know that it's not just one person can do it. Like everybody, there's every body type. I don't have six pack abs, you know, like every body type is great. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. You know, like not just one person is a success doing this long-term. There's many people who are.
Yeah. And
everybody's success is different.
Yeah. And exactly. I think that the point is not to compare yourself to other people. The point is to be the best version of yourself that you can be. And I want to encourage you, Greg, because I found you very inspiring. I want to encourage you to keep posting and even post, you know, it's up to you. It's your page, but even when you're having a bad day, even when it's negative, you know, like let people know, because we see, everyone sees the success story.
Yes.
They don't see the in-between, the struggle. And some people believe that once you've lost the weight, you're forever happy. That's not true. You have bad days. You have days where you still want to eat the whole cake and just binge. And you have days where you have negative self-talk and things like that. So, you know, if you feel like doing that's helpful too, because people... I believe you're going to be inspiring a lot of people with this story and on your page. So keep on doing it.
Great advice. And I'll definitely take that. Yeah. I see. I should have put about my whole foot and not being able to work out for 2 weeks. Like that should have been something.
Like
I could
that's
have
a big
about.
Deal. Like, what do you do? Like, because I mean, I'm having issues with my knee right now. And it's hard for me. I was walking all the time. I was hiking all the time, and I'm not doing that now. And I have to go use a bicycle instead, even though I don't want to do that, but that's the best thing I can do for my knee.
Right.
So it would be definitely helpful for people to understand, like, sometimes you can't work out, but that doesn't mean you give up. Right. And that's the part that's inspiring, that you're still saying, okay, so my feet hurt, so I'll find something else to do, or I'm going to just make a decision. I'm going to be a little stricter about what I'm ingesting. Right.
Yes.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much.
That's why you're the life coach, you know.
Thank you so much for being with me. I really appreciate it. And, you know, continued success with your journey, and please keep posting. I really do think you're going to be helping a lot of people.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you
so
much.
You're welcome.
I think the biggest takeaway that I got from listening to that is that for most people, and I know there are some people that struggle their entire lives and sometimes don't get over the hurdles of the things that they deal with, but for most people, you know, the trauma and stuff, it could be temporary, and you could find your permanent happiness. You just got to really work towards it. And it seems that that's been his thing throughout everything that he's told you.
Yeah. I think just in general, the way everyone is unique, I think everyone's story is unique. And I think for people who have issues with weight, we have a lot of things in common, but people's issues are still very unique to them. So I think that I wanted people to understand that if you're unhappy, if you feel like your weight is holding you back from enjoying your life the way Greg felt, then do something about it. And it sounds easy, and it's not. It's not. It's like he said, anything worth having in life, anything truly worth having in life is hard to attain. But it just shows you that it's worth it. Because if you take it off easy, it comes right back easy. When you lose weight quickly, you gain weight quickly and then some. So it's important that if you decide to do this weight loss journey via weight loss surgery, do your research, do your homework, and remember that it's just a tool. But I wanted to talk to Greg because I find him to be very inspiring. You know, he admitted that he was gay. He admitted that he didn't know how to handle that. He admitted that even though he knew his family would be accepting socially, that was scary.
Well, in speaking to that, because I know one of the things that he said was he was wondering, he thinks that schools and whatnot, as a high school teacher, many students of mine utilize the services that are in the schools now. There are gender sexuality alliance clubs. There are partnerships with local organizations that come in and help students find their way. If need be, help them find a way to speak to their families about it. And we've seen great benefits for a lot of our youth today in regards to that. So it is happening.
Yeah, that's important. And I'm glad, like he said, it wasn't available then. I'm glad it's available now. And, you know, maybe you're not struggling with your sexuality. Maybe you're struggling with a trauma. Maybe you're struggling with the fact that you were abused when you were younger and you haven't gotten over it. Maybe, God forbid, you were molested. There are lots of reasons that we pack on the weight. The weight is a protector. The weight protects us from I'm not speaking for everybody. I'm going to speak for myself. When you have the extra weight, you feel left out. You feel like you're not as cool, not as pretty, not as sexy, not as desirable. You want to feel that. But ironically, some of us pack on the weight, not intentionally, it's not conscious, it's very, very unconscious, but you do it because you don't want to, like, for example, I guess for me, okay, I'll just tell my truth, right? I was raped when I was 16. And that incident made me feel so violated and so scared. And so without realizing it, I packed on the weight so that I wouldn't appear desirable or attractive to men. So I didn't have to worry about them coming at me, or like I had this wrong conception that men were dangerous, you know, that sex was dangerous. And so God forbid, I didn't want to be in that, you know, I didn't want to be that. So without realizing it, I was eating those feelings. And also I was pretty freaking angry. I was enraged. And I didn't know how to handle it. So the eating helps you feel better because it literally stuffs everything down. And so it adds a barrier. It's the wrong barrier because you feel horrible. You're not healthy. You don't like yourself very much. And listen, there are some women out there, God bless you, you know, that are heavier and they love themselves. And I love them for that. You know, and there are some of us who are out there going through that because we don't know how to deal with all these emotions. So, you know, eating, just like a sex addiction, just like an alcohol addiction, just like a drug addiction, we use those addictions to escape from the pain of the feelings that are coming up. So we use them as a coping mechanism to distract ourselves from feeling what we really need to feel. As human beings, we don't allow ourselves to feel the bad stuff. We don't want to feel the bad stuff. And the truth is, if you just allow yourself to feel bad for a minute, you cry, you get mad. The truth is, eventually the feeling goes away and you're like, oh my God, I didn't crumble. I didn't fall apart. I'm actually going to be okay.
Yeah. And on the back end of it, you figure out, okay, now I could set myself on this course because I allowed myself to go through it. Maybe it's telling me something to help me.
Right. So I would say to anyone, you know, who's struggling with weight, who wants to do something about it, it benefits you. Just like Greg said, to get a therapist. You know, it doesn't even have to be a psychiatrist. It could be a social worker. It could be a life coach. You know, it would benefit you to talk about the things that you're struggling with. And that alone can help heal you. And then the weight becomes secondary because it's really what's going on inside. That's the most important thing. That's what I think, you know.
Absolutely.
So I'm really glad that we got to talk to Greg and, you know, I'm actually great because I was able to share some stuff with everybody that I didn't share before, but that's how I feel. So, you know, for me personally, I still struggle with weight, and I have different, I have different reasons for struggling. Some of it's physical, some of it's hormonal now because I'm 54, and, you know, but at the same time, I've healed a lot and I'm glad that I did the weight loss surgery. I gained some of it back. But I shudder at the idea of what I might have weighed today if I didn't do the surgery. So I never gained all of it back. I gained some of it back, but I feel fine. I feel like it was just like he felt really happy.
Yeah, you found the balance.
I do too. Yeah, I do too. I'm okay with it. You know, could I be thinner? Yes. Do I want to be thinner? Yes. But I know what to do to make that happen. You know, when you want to lose weight, there's a lot of time. It takes a long time, depending on how much weight you have to lose. The more weight you have to lose, the longer it's going to take. So you can't blink and lose 100 pounds in a day. It's just not going to happen. You can't do it in a week. You can't do it in a month. So what do you tell yourself in the meantime? In the meantime, you be the best version of yourself you can be. In the meantime, you say, okay, this is not, I'm not where I am now, but I will be. Every day, I'm a day closer to being where I want to be. And you love yourself in the meantime. You show up and you know, it's like I tell a lot of my life coach clients, show up for life. Get up in the morning, brush your teeth, wash your face, wash your culito, make your bed, show up for life and be like, I'm here. Put on some clothes, do something that makes you feel good and just celebrate the fact that you're alive and your body works. You might not like the way it looks, but it's working because some people don't have the body at all. Some people don't have limbs. Some people are disabled. Celebrate who you are now and then do the work that you want to do to get to where you want to go.
So you are a believer in it always gets better.
Yeah, I am.
Absolutely.
I am the
Agreed.
Eternal optimist.
Agreed.
I don't say the glass is half full. I say, I'm glad I have a glass.
That's right.
You know?
Amen.
That's it.
And if you want to have a glass or you need to fill your glass, Judy Torres, lifecoach@gmail.com. Maybe we can help you. Well, Judy can help you. I'll just bring you to her to find that beautiful life. We thank you so much for joining us each and every week. And I think Judy has one more thing that she wants to say.
I want you to know there's no reason to cry. Okay. Okay. I love you. Bye-bye. Mwah.